So as I mentioned before, it's nice to be back with you this week, and I missed being with you last week as we had the opportunity to go to San Francisco and see a couple of Giants games there at AT&T Park at the City by the Bay. And so last night I went to Chase Field as the Giants just happened to be in town playing here in Arizona. And so as I was sitting there and looking over the crowd, I felt sorry for many of them. Now, many of you know that we've had the opportunity to go around the country visiting all the Major League Baseball parks and have really enjoyed that experience. Particularly appreciated places like Fenway Park just because of its history, and also for a park that's over 100 years old, how pristine and how wonderful that experience is. We also enjoyed many of the settings that you will find in the stadiums, particularly San Diego downtown or Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, each along the river, are just wonderful settings for stadiums and for ballparks, and go to have that experience. But last week was the ultimate baseball experience. And I may be biased because it is my favorite team, but there by the bay, it is probably, if not the most beautiful, one of the most beautiful settings in which to go and have a baseball experience. And so then, looking upon the crowd last night, I thought of all of those who would have not had that baseball experience there in San Francisco, and being able then to watch the game on a wonderful day, like we had a wonderful evening and a wonderful day, and be able to look out on the bay and just have a great experience. And I recognize that we all have a sense of bias as well. There's a story about a man who was going around the country, and while he was traveling, he decided he would visit different churches on Sunday morning. And the first church he went to, he noticed that in the entryway there was a golden telephone, and there it said it was a direct line to God, where you could call God and make your request be made known to God. And but then also there was a charge involved. It was $500 to make that call. Next week he went to another church. They also had this gold telephone, and noticed it was $100 there. And each church he went to each week had this gold telephone, a direct line to God, but there was a great cost in which you would call in order to talk to God directly. Finally, he came to one church, had his gold telephone there. They noticed it was only 25 cents. So he asked the pastor of the church, "Well, I've been to all these churches. It would cost so much to have this direct line to God. Yours is only 25 cents. And the pastor, "Well, that's because this is God's country. This is God's country. Therefore, it's only a local call." So many of us, I know, have our biases about parts of the country. Arizona is wonderful. That's why we live here. But also then, as I was looking over the crowds, I thought of the story of Jesus. But the people came to experience Jesus and to be in his presence. And we are told that Jesus and his apostles were greeted by a great crowd. A great crowd was there when they came ashore. Jesus was taking the apostles to a place where they thought it would be isolated, a place they thought to be deserted along the lake. The great crowd is not defined. So I imagine it would represent people of all walks of life, of all many and varied backgrounds. And when Jesus looked upon this great crowd, of the many different people, he had, we are told, compassion on them. He had a feeling of mercy, a sense of tenderness for each and every individual that made up this great crowd. And so we know that Jesus is aware of their suffering. Jesus feels with them their grief. He knows their needs. He takes in the entire crowd and recognizes the pain and the anguish, the illness of each individual. The people come to Jesus to be healed. The stories of Jesus' healing most often focus on physical healing. But like any crowd, I imagine, though, of the great numbers, those who actually were in need of physical healing would probably be somewhat small. But we also have to recognize that in life, there's much more to our experiences. There's much more ways in which we feel pain. Jesus would also recognize those who are in need of healing of mental anguish, of psychological struggles, of emotional needs, fears of the unknown, and spiritual questions. In so many ways, a need for healing. And the intent of Jesus is to heal, to make whole, to restore to health, to make a person sound, to fill that which is missing in life, to feel that emptiness. The image of Jesus upon seeing the crowd is like sheep without a shepherd. It is the shepherd that provides guidance in the wilderness, provides food and water, finds a place for rest, and tends to the needs of the sheep. The people come to Jesus because of a need for healing. We too look for healing in those many, many different ways. We too often need to feel as though we are whole once again. We too have a need to feel, to fill emptiness. We're in a country, in a society, where we often tend to self-medicate. We're aware of the tragedies that we've experienced in our own lives, or we read or hear about, where there's an abuse of alcohol and illicit drugs, or even the improper use of prescription drugs, where people will self-medicate. But there are more ways that people go about the desire to feel whole once again. There are many different drugs in our lives. They may be the pursuit of wealth or a career where we tend to try to feel an emptiness or a need. It may be striving for power over others, or maybe just a sense of enjoyment at the expense of others, and where we go, where we then carry no responsibility whatsoever. There are so many ways in our society that we try to mask our pain, try to mask that which hurts, try to feel that emptiness and that void. So often there is something in life that is missing. And often we ourselves, just like in the stories of Jesus, come to Him when all other means have been exhausted. A woman was struggling because she had this phobia, this irrational fear. She recognized that when she went to sleep at night, that there was something or someone under her bed. So she couldn't sleep, and this went on for quite a period of time. She decided to go see a psychologist about it. The psychologist says, "Yes, I understand. We can deal with your issue. I can help you. We can work together. Let's schedule a meeting 3 days a week, and I figure over a period of time I can bring you a sense of relief and comfort." The woman began to think, well, 3 days a week, you know, how much will this cost? She said, well, it's $100 an hour. She said, well, this would be quite expensive. And so she went and told the psychologist she would go home and think about it. 6 months later, she sees a psychologist on the street. He says, "I haven't seen you. How are you doing?" He says, "I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine." He says, "Are you over your fears?" He says, "Yes. I happened to call my grandmother. I told my grandmother what my issue was. And her solution was this: cut off the legs of the bed." But so many of us have a need for healing, and we reach out to where we may find that help and that assistance. And often the last place we go is to Jesus. The Christian, we the followers of Jesus, have experienced His compassion. We have gone to be healed, to fill an emptiness in life. We come to Jesus and we come to receive, but then we are to give. We are to receive as we come together, we sit and are still and we listen, but then we act. Our purpose is to bring near those who are far. To look upon the crowds and to reconcile and to bring people together. To be inclusive. And the emphasis for us should be not on just those who are the same as us, but rather to look at those who are in so many ways different and reach out to them and to provide a place of comfort, to provide words of acceptance and of welcome, because in the crowds around us are people of so many backgrounds, so many struggles, so much pain and so much emptiness, and many are far different than we are. We read in Paul's message to the Ephesians that we are to share a message of the inclusive Jesus. It is a message of peace, forgiveness, fellowship, and of goodness. For Paul says we are all citizens, all the people in the great crowds. And we are joined together to form a temple. And in this temple, in our lives, is the dwelling place of God, this God of love. And so the next time you find yourselves in a crowd, look upon the crowd and recognize the diversity and the difference. Look upon the crowds and see each and every individual for who he or she is. Look upon the crowds and see them with compassion. Amen.